From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with a quick look at some of the stories that we are following. It is a truth universally acknowledged that landfills are smelly, and Juneau's is no exception. But lately, neighbors say it's been extra stinky.
A landfill might seem like just a big pile of, well, trash, and it is. But there's actually some cool stuff going on in there. As more and more garbage gets layered on top, it compacts everything below. Bacteria start to chow down on organic material like food waste and lawn clippings, causing them to break down. And they love moisture.
It biodegrades much more quickly when it's wet. And there are landfills in the lower 48 that have allowances to actually pump water into the landfill for that very same purpose.
That's Doug Butine, Environmental Program Manager for the state's Solid Waste Program. Obviously, Juneau's landfill doesn't need water pumped in, especially not this year. But as the wet, hot trash cooks down inside, it produces methane and sulfur gases. That's the really stinky stuff, and it needs somewhere to go. Usually, at Juneau's landfill, it's burned off. If you're visiting, you'll notice tall metal pipes sticking out of the ground. Those are hooked up to a burner that helps with the smell. But that's not happening right now, and neighbors are noticing.
Luckily, it doesn't blow towards our neighborhood very often, but when it does, it's overwhelming. It's so stinky, you don't want to be outside.
Sean Willie lives in the Eagle's Edge subdivision across Lemon Creek.
I've seen kids at the playground just go home and just wait for it to pass.
It usually doesn't hang around for too long, but Willie says the smell has been showing up more than usual for the last few months.
I don't think it's probably a health issue or anything, but it's definitely unpleasant.
There are a few reasons why the landfill smells worse. For one, tis the season.
The inversions especially are strong in the winter, and they help to hold the gas and anything else close to the ground. So that's really a big factor at this time of year.
And Waste Management, the Texas-based company that owns and operates the landfill, is upgrading its gas collection system. So they had to shut down parts of it recently. Landfill manager Eric Vance wrote in an email that they shut off portions of the collection network while upgrading it over the last 2 months. They're almost done with the project, which should improve the system overall. But he wrote that it might take a few weeks to get everything back to normal. Until then, neighbors in the surrounding area will just have to deal. Butine says they've heard from a few people this year.
We can act as an intermediary, and we do get some complaints. We don't get a lot.
The city operates a recycling center on the site, but otherwise doesn't have any say in how it's run. Neither do neighbors like Willie. He says he's talked to Waste Management in the past about the smell.
That's about it. It's not much we can do besides up and move.
Like any landfill, Juneau's is not bottomless. The 20-year lifespan estimated in 2019 is counting down. In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter.
Alaska lawmakers will be required to wear face masks during floor sessions when they convene in January. Under rules that a committee of legislative leaders adopted today, the Joint House and Senate Legislative Council passed a policy that outlines how lawmakers will enforce new rules in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. The council also voted to bar news reporters from floor sessions, as well as to require lawmakers to sit when they speak during floor sessions to reduce the distance that virus particles could spread. Kodiak Republican Senator Gary Stevens chairs the council. He says lawmakers have to protect the people who work for the legislature.
We know the fears that many of our employees have, the concerns they have, the questioned health conditions that they have that we may not even be aware of, that people are concerned about what may happen to them and even are considering maybe not working for us if they don't feel safe.
The policies could be changed once the newly elected legislature convenes January 19th. Neither the House nor the Senate have agreed on who will lead their chambers. Palmer Republican Representative Delana Johnson was the only council member to vote against the new policies. She says the constituents of legislators who break the rules would be disenfranchised.
When we start making exclusions, we have to be very, very, very careful, especially before when we're talking about this legislature making rules for a legislature that is not yet formed.
Under the new policies, lawmakers who refuse to have their temperatures checked or to answer health screening questions will be denied entry to the Capitol. Those who refuse to wear face masks will be required to stay in their offices, and those who test positive for the coronavirus will have to quarantine outside of the Capitol. Legislative leaders have asked that lawmakers be prioritized in vaccine distribution, but State Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ann Zink says lawmakers may not be in the groups receiving shots before March. The collision of a warm, wet weather front with a mass of cold air from Siberia could set a new record, the lowest barometric pressure recorded in the North Pacific. That could mean hurricane-force winds and high seas in the southeastern Bering Sea this week.
This storm is generating a lot of interest from weather watchers around the world because it is going to wind up, in all likelihood, being one of the deepest low-pressure systems that has ever been seen in the Bering Sea.
Rick Toman is a climate specialist with the University of Alaska Fairbanks. He says the storm, which is expected to reach Unalaska by Thursday night, will be comparable to the storms that hit the area in 2014 and 2015. Those storms caused wind damage in both Unalaska and the Pribilof Islands.
But because this storm is going to be very far west, like the 2014 ex-typhoon Nuri, we're not expecting those kind of damaging winds to move into the eastern Aleutians or the Pribilofs, but certainly we'll notice the weather front.
National Weather Service climatologist Brian Brettschneider also says that boaters in the Bering Sea could run into seas as high as 40 feet during the storm. While the brunt of the storm won't reach the more populated areas in the Aleutians, Brettschneider says it will still have the weather effects for a large part of Alaska.
The fact that that storm is going to be there and we're going to have high pressure over the Yukon means we're going to have, you know, an easterly flow, and which is going to bring colder temperatures.
Brettschneider says that tracking records like this is important for scientists as they study climate change in the region. While the COVID-19 pandemic forced many schools and colleges to innovate ways to teach students remotely, one University of Alaska campus was already there. UAS Sitka has been running 1- and 2-year degree programs in fisheries technology since 2013, with almost all of the lectures, assignments, labs, and exams packed into a single iPad. Director Joel Marcus recently told the Sitka Chamber of Commerce that the fisheries technology program was focused on workforce development in Alaska's second largest industry, where many students cannot attend traditional classes.
The first thing that I want to do is kind of present the problem. Well, this is a community in Western Alaska. I think this is St. Paul. And you can imagine the challenges with getting internet to somebody as far and remote as St. Paul is pretty high. So, an online class is probably out of the books. There is not a university campus in St. Paul, so taking face-to-face classes is kind of off the books as well. And so people in these kind of remote and communities that have limited internet capability really lack access to education and to fisheries education. And so we saw this as a problem. One of the other challenges is some people don't have a schedule that that allows them to participate in a traditional semester. Maybe you're a fisherman that works late into the fall or even throughout the winter that you can't participate in classes. Or maybe you're just a busy person with a full-time job and a family. And so kind of traditional curriculum is off the books.
Marcus said that delivering education to non-traditional students was going to be critical for the future of Alaska's seafood industry, many of whose 60,000 member workforce he described as near retirement or graying. The answer proved to be a delivery method tailored to a younger generation.
The solution that we developed is to basically present a course on an iPad. We take an entire college course, we put it on an Apple iPad, and we can send it out to the student, and it provides maximum flexibility as with respect to schedule, internet availability, and the timing that the student might have available to take a college course. And so you can essentially learn from anywhere. On these iPads, we have included pre-recorded lectures, all of the reading assignments necessary for the students, self-check quizzes to make sure students are progressing along in the class, the weekly assignments that the students take. There are a variety of different apps loaded on there that students can use to make creative projects that demonstrate their learning to the instructors. And the exams are all conducted on the iPad, which shuts down and locks down during the exam period so students can't access previously viewed material. And so now our fishermen can learn about dive fisheries in Alaska while steaming from one fishing ground to another. Our fisheries technician can sit on the weir waiting for the fish box to fill up with fish that she's going to then process and be pursuing a college education along the way.
Marcus mentioned that solutions sometimes created new problems. For example, there is no way to teach students how to handle or catch a fish from an iPad or how to walk a stream bed. UAS Sitka has developed lab kits for all the fisheries technology courses with all the tools they need to learn field techniques. Marcus said they had just sent out a bunch of sick fish and microscopes all over the state for a fish pathology lab course, and it was a rave success. That's the latest from the KTOO Newsroom. I'm Rasha McChesney.